In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 128. I mean, listen, the Haim era is over. I got to confess, I mean, this is something that's not really... I'm not a practicing
confessions
religious
of a podcast co-host.
But I'm not religious, right? I'm not religious.
Neither
if you
am
believe
I, Brian.
If you believe in
shocking
that water bottle
new developments, I'm not either.
So if you believe in that water bottle, it makes you a better person. I could give a crap. But I was born Jewish. And Haim Bloom is as Jewish a name as you can get, and I kind of was rooting for him. Maybe it's cuz he's Jewish, I don't know, but he's gone. And I'm conflicted in the sense that, I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, basically, last place finishes out of four. I think everybody knows that it's possible to rebuild your farm system and not suck. And he had some negatives, right? Whitlock, Hauk, Story. I mean, he had injuries. Guys weren't there that they counted on. But you can't tell me, even with those three, four guys, that they would have been at the top of the table. So I my biggest thing with it is that it's weird. I come up with, since the Jewish thing, we'll do it, we'll carry through to the Old Testament. It's like a little bit of a Moses thing. Like, you know, like he does this thing and then he doesn't get to see the promised land. Like, they made him do this stuff or the way he wanted to, and then in the end they're not gonna let him see what it looks like on the other end, which I think I understand why they fired him, but it's a weird thing to do without giving him like one more year to see if the crap he's doing works out.
Is it more of a case, the fact that they fired him, that the two people before him, Charrington and Duquette, right? Dombrowski, were given basically the same amount of time? Was he like sitting around at bated breath this year, basically looking at his time slipping away?
I feel like sometimes, since these owners are so rich and successful, we give them too much credit. I mean, in listening to all the hot takes in every department of the world in the last 16 hours... If I own the team and I walk through the stadium, even if it's a rainout makeup and it's a Yankees Red Sox game and there's 18,000 people there and people don't give a crap, the team sucks, I would be like, I got to fire somebody. You
right.
know what I mean? I mean, I really feel like it was almost like a rando, knee-jerk reaction to, like, they just realize how far they have fallen.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely not the flavor in New England anymore, or Boston, that's for sure.
My wife wants to give up our season tickets. I mean, she is as big a fan, never questioned it, and she's like, what the heck are we doing?
Now, as a traditional Sox fan, would the traditional Sox fan blame that all on the fact that Mookie Betts left?
I think a lot of people think that...
I mean, I think that's when the downfall started, right? You win a World Series, your marquee player's gone the next year.
Yeah, a lot of people think that that is a curse, right? That was a cursed move.
I didn't want to say it, but you did.
And I'm not saying it's going to be like Babe Ruth, but let's be honest, everybody has admitted that.
Because look at Mookie, right? Uh-huh. He's a generational player.
He's arguably the MVP this year in the
NL. And you knew what you had when you had him.
Well, that's the thing, is that how much did you know? I mean, to go out there and that star-studded...
We won the MVP.
I know, but I mean, I think that whether they thought there'd be a decline or they thought his body would break down because he's not that big, I don't know. I think that he's more than they thought. I think that there's an underestimate. Believe it or not,
I think they just didn't want to pay for him, to be honest with you. I think they were doing what you're saying. They're running the team, and we had talked about this in past episodes. It's a business. They're running it as a business.
They made the age,
corporation.
The age, it's not a cost-benefit analysis. It's an age-to-cost analysis.
But he was like 26, right?
I think he was
26 or 27.
A little older than Devers. Listen, and I've talked about this on my morning show, and I'll just bears repeating here. It's like Devers is a great player, and he's a good guy, but he's got zero of the intangibles that Bogarts and Betts have. And like, I understand Bogarts because there's no way he's going to live through that contract as a productive player. But when it comes to Betts, like, if if you give that money to Devers, how do you not give that money to Betts? And we've been over this 1,000 times. The bottom line is that Betts leaving is a curse. Everyone said if you don't win and he's gone, this is going to put your feet to the fire. And that's what the fans, the owners, they signed off on the Betts trade, so they can't run right. away from that. I think honestly,
but they'll never accept responsibility for anything.
But I just think that Fenway's a sad place when it's not when the Iowa
$2 tickets.
When the Iowa families go back to school and they're not on vacation filling yeah. that place, and you realize how few local fans are actually supporting the team, that's a slap in the face. And you know what? I'm pretty resentful, and it's not about the $13 beers or whatever, but like the arrogance of what they've been getting away with, even when the team went sort of south. You know what I mean? I mean, not since there hasn't been a ton of energy since 18.
They haven't done anything since 18.
Well, I mean, like, there hasn't been real energy since maybe 13. But, I mean, honestly, like, Fenway is just sort of, it has sort of jumped the shark. Everything's super expensive, and it's annoying. It's like when a street gets so fashionable because of the stores, and then people who grew up there are like, this is a bunch of crap. Like, most of the people who are real fans, they can't stand it. I don't mind Sweet Caroline, but you should see my friends when that song comes on. They're like, oh.
Oh, man. You got to listen to Bill Burr's podcast. He has a whole thing about songs he just cannot stand.
And that's one of them?
Sweet Caroline, Come On, Eileen. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a slew of them. And
the sing-along ones.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We're like, people are just like, oh, my God, enough.
So, I mean, just to put a ribbon on it, I think the real conversation has to be, what do you do now? And then what does this mean for Cashman? So what do you do now? I mean, there's this whole debate. Do you go with the sabermetrics money ball guy all the way, or do you go with a Dombrowski sort of fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants thing or whatever? I mean, Theo's not coming back. Everybody knows that. And so I would like somebody who just has an understanding that you have to balance win now with build for later. Like the fact that they when they were close, they didn't trade for much, to me is a fundamental misunderstanding of why you develop people in the minors. You know, like I look, if I have 6 prospects, I'm definitely trading 3 of them because that's what you do at a deadline. You keep 3, you trade 3, you move up. You have arbitration eligible guys. You have minimum guys, and you have free agents that are making big money. That's how you build a 25-man yeah. roster. I mean, it's pretty freaking simple. It's not that hard. And so I don't know if it's a young guy or what, and I can't stand this chief baseball officer versus GM. Because anyone need to know, I mean, most baseball fans who listen and watch this podcast know that a GM's not a GM anymore.
Right. Right.
The GM is the chief baseball officer.
Yeah, how did Sam Kennedy get away with keeping his job and all this?
Well, he's a part owner of the team.
Well, there you go.
He's got equity. And I like Sam.
He's got part ownership. They don't want to rattle those cages.
Well, and the thing is that what bothers me is why they didn't the timing isn't the timing. It's like if you recognize that what's going on is some longer-term issue, what are you doing? Like, I really... You know, taking Chaim Bloom as the fall guy.
Are they getting rid of him now, though, because they're panicking because maybe...
Well, because Stearns went Stern to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they got a guy they
or maybe
want...
maybe they're just saying, listen, we're moving on, so anybody that's interested, like...
Let us know.
Let us know.
Because the truth is, like, with the Stearns thing, and where did he end up going? He went to the Mets.
But he's a New York guy.
Right,
so.
But the bottom line is...
And that's why I was thinking the Yankees would go to.
If they
direction.
Had a guy in mind, they would have done it. And like, again, if maybe we're
not
giving
like
them too
much
credit.
They have anybody in mind.
Right, so then fire him because one talented guy goes off the books. That's dumb. I don't think that's it. I really don't. And I think that Boston still is a job and a place and a franchise that you could poach. Somebody would leave a job for that
absolutely.
Job. So I'm not buying into that theory, but who gets this job is important. And I don't think I want a first-time GM, but I don't want, that's why like the guy, I don't know if it's Sabian, I don't know who they were talking about, but there was somebody who's done it. But isn't like...
Oh, the guy from Arizona?
I thought it was the guy from San Fran. I don't know.
Sabian's older. He's been around.
Maybe it's not Sabian.
Fadian or Fart?
No, I don't know if it's him. But
the guy from San Francisco?
But my point is, like, I don't want a first-time GM. You know, but I don't want, like, you know, the Dusty Baker.
Well, what's his name? Sam Fold is the guy that keeps coming up because he's from New England.
But isn't he a GM now?
He's with Philadelphia, I believe.
So he works under Dombrowski?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's from New England. He actually went to my high school. And he's been respected ever since he was, you know, in the majors and playing. but he is also, he's a brainiac, like was an Ivy kid, you know what right. I mean? Like, you know, if he, so he's super, super smart and he's played. I think credibility wise, he'd have a lot of credibility in the clubhouse and the meeting room. So
yeah. Where's Alex Cora fit in all this? Do they
some people think Cora, like, this is an elevation for Cora.
Like, he's gonna not be manager?
I'm not saying he'd jump in the front office, but like, if you don't fire both of them, then it's an elevation of Cora.
Right.
So
they value him more, value
his
opinion.
And let's face it, I think he's overrated too. Now, I don't dislike him.
Well, they must like him because they freaking got rid of him and brought him back. And listen, it wasn't like a Billy Martin thing. It was just like, you go hide for a little bit and then come back.
They love him. They don't just like him. How could you keep a guy on like that?
So he's sticking around no matter who comes
Correct.
In.
Correct. That's right.
So whoever comes in has got to be on board with that.
Right. It's complicated.
Yeah.
Actually, keeping Cora makes it really messy unless it's an inside job. So I don't really know where they go.
How many more years are left on Cora's contract? It can't be more than two. I mean, they don't usually sign more than 3-year deals.
No,
I bet you it's just next year.
It shouldn't be about that. If it is, then it's just that's even worse. So listen, we've done nothing to give you the insight about who's next. I think Sam Fold would be a great answer, but I do think that whoever it is, they're gonna give Cora 1 year. But if I'm coming in to be the CBO, I'm gonna get the offer. Right, I'm going to get the offer.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to ask the question, well, what's the deal with Cora? And they're like, well, he stays no matter what. I might not take the offer.
Yeah, well, and you also need to get like a 5-year deal from them because you're not going to be around too long if you don't produce.
Right.
And you got to get a commitment that they're going to spend some money, that they're going to have to go out and get. If they're going to do this cost analysis and all this penny pinching stuff that they started with Heim Bloom.
But you can't do, John, a knee-jerk spend. I think that's a huge mistake.
Well, maybe not next year because there's not a ton other than Shohei free agent wise on the market. But they're going to have to do something if it's through trades or whatever. I mean, Rafael Devers is not going to be your key marquee player to build
there's
around.
No
I don't
chance.
Think.
No. So they're far away. Let's talk quickly about the Yankees. I think ultimately the Sox are going to end up in last. The Yankees won't end up in last, and that leaves you with a really weird decision because you'll have basically played well the last month of the season with a bunch of young kids, and we'll get to Dominguez in a second. But that to me means if they finish out of last place and over 500, I think Boone and Cashman stay.
Yeah, I think given the circumstances that the Yankees are in now, that they basically, you know, they basically gave up, went with the youth movement, and then they lost their one flavor, Dominguez, that everyone was excited about. It almost kind of reset the meter, I think, with the Yankees in a way. Like you said, it's like they're not going to blame anybody anymore. They're just going to kind of say, listen, this is what happened, and hopefully we can improve our team with a left-handed bat, an outfielder. Maybe hopefully Dominguez is back, you know, earlier than later, and it comes back in May, and he's the center fielder of the future. And I think I kind of agree with you, Brian. I think this whole scenario, how the expectations just dropped, might be saving Boone and Cashman. I don't think Boone was going anywhere.
Do you
to be
want
honest
them gone? By the way, do you want them gone?
I'm done. I'm tired of Cashman, to be honest with you. I mean, I know he's been around forever and he knows the game and he's well respected, but I just feel like that ship has sailed. He's been around in the Yankees organization
time
for
a new voice.
So long. But again, he it's not just him. He comes with a whole
ecosystem.
Whole ecosystem. It's not like you're getting rid of Heim Bloom, who you just kind of put in there and maybe had like one guy around him, where Sam Kennedy was more of, like you said, part owner with the good old boys club.
Right.
And you're just that middleman there. Like, Brian Cashman's got all sorts of guys he's been working hand in hand with for the last 15, 20 years in that organization.
You're blowing it all out.
Yeah, but so do you want to go down that route, or do you want to look at it and be like, listen, we need some health next year. We need two or three pieces, and let's try it.
I don't know all the names of the guys that have been called up for the Sox. I actually think the Sox are closer to being better than the Yankees are. I
don't think pitching-wise. I think, you know, when it all comes down to it, I think the Yankees would have the better pitching than the Sox do, like, on paper right now, even, you know, coming back from injury. But, you know, I think you could throw any kind of hitting lineup out there any day against any other team other than the Atlanta Braves, and you're probably going to match up pretty well, unless you're the Royals or the Pirates.
Right. I don't know. I just think there's no... I think Stanton is an absolute liability. And then after Judge, who is there anybody feared in that lineup? And
well, I mean, Gleyber's had a great season, and he's a very young player. You got to remember, Gleyber Torres is 25 years old.
Is
so,
he really that young?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that started at 19, 20 years old in the major league. So he's not even a free agent until after next season. So he's not going anywhere. And if you're tanking next year and he's doing good, you can get something for him. So I think, like, you know, a healthy Judge, who knows what's going to happen with him, if he's going to need surgery, if not. I mean, I would think if Judge needed surgery by now, the Yankees would have been like,
they would have shut him down.
Get your surgery, yeah. Right? But then I also feel like, you know, Judge is kind of the guy who's dictating that scenario. You know, if Judge says he's fine to play, then Judge is fine to play, kind of thing.
But it shouldn't be that way when they're paying him that much
money. No, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. But listen, we all know, and this is a perfect transition into the Jason Dominguez thing, the Yankees have been a little bit sketchy with their conditioning and their injuries and stuff. I mean, look, it's every year it seems like
the training staff for Dominguez?
No, I don't think that. I think it's just something it just happened to him. But according to the thing, he had reported this like over a week earlier. Like, and I think it was in the first game after he came up, he reported elbow problems.
It's like the Shohei thing.
And he just kept playing with it because, I mean, now listen, are you going to sit there and they're going to be like, listen, oh, my elbow hurts. Like, oh, come on, kid. You know, you just got up here. You know, you want to do
your
thing.
At least run a stupid MRI or something. That's just.
Now, granted, do you have, you know, there's a big stock in Dominguez, but you're only in the whole fifth 5.1 million, you know.
No, it's not a financial thing.
No, it's a future thing.
Yeah, it's a future thing. I think it's just, I hate when anybody gets hurt. I really don't like it,
but
especially a young kid.
The good thing going, though, in the bright side of it is he is a position player, and he was playing through it. We saw other people play through it. Shohei's playing through it right now. Harper came back very quickly from it, so... My guess is he's back right after the team breaks camp, but he's going to have to get ready, right? Right. He's going to have to get ready. And is he going to be ready for the major leagues? I mean, we're also talking about a player here who has 9 games in AAA and came up to the major leagues under a scenario that was basically like, hey, kid, our season is lost. Just come on up and play.
Yeah.
Right? So he might not even be ready for the major leagues as far as management is concerned, who that may even be.
I don't think he's ever going back down.
No, I don't think he's ever going back down either, but a lot can happen between now and then. Including in the knife in his elbow.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Just whip around really quickly about the races. I find it fascinating. I think everything's pretty much done. I mean, I really would love it if both Seattle and the Rangers leapfrog the Astros, but I don't know if that's going to happen. It's this NL wild card that's driving me bananas. Like, nobody seems to want it. Like, everyone's playing 500 ball, and you have... The Giants, the Reds, the D-backs have all played like crap.
Yeah.
And they're all there still. And I kind of like it because it's something to keep an eye on. And I actually really like all three teams. Lavulo has got a Boston connection. The Reds, for some reason, they get me. And the Giants, I always follow because of Yastrzemski. So, but all three of those teams have a run differential in the negative, and they're all three as of Friday tied for that last wild card spot. I mean, that's a bunch of hot garbage.
It's a lot of hot garbage, total hot garbage. And you look at it like, what, the Phillies are leading the wild card at 4 up, so I mean, technically they can be overtaken. I mean, they're not going to be, but technically they could. So that whole wild card could be shuffled in a matter of 4 games.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Right, but you know, no one's even talking about Miami, who's like the most and least interesting team in baseball that's in it. Like, nobody
cares. Can name a player for them.
Nobody cares about them. And their main marquee guy, Alcantara, who won the Cy Young, I believe, last year, is hurt right now. So, you know, what do they really got going? But they keep hanging in there. They keep hanging in there. And I think, you know, the flavor is Cincinnati. Everybody, you know.
I like them.
Yeah, they want to see that. And I'm not excited about San Francisco. I don't know how they keep hanging in there. I guess, I don't know. I don't follow them close enough. I don't see them there at the end. I don't think anyone's beaten Atlanta, to be honest with you. But it's pretty awesome when you got 2 weeks left in the season and you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, basically 7, 6 teams that could be anywhere in a matter of leading the wild card or at the end out of the wild card in a matter of 4 games.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, is there anything else that's grabbing you right now?
In baseball?
You know, in terms of the races. I mean, to me, that's the only thing that's
The American League is interesting because, you know, the Yankees play a ton of games, a lot, like I think 7 more games against the Blue Jays. So the Yankees can really mess up the Blue Jays season. But in the grand scheme of things, you need the Blue Jays to win if you don't want the Astros in.
Right.
And you need the Texas Rangers to win if you don't want the Astros in. And the Texas Rangers were pretty much garbage. And then all of a sudden they went on another stretch again.
If the Blue Jays don't make the playoffs, like, I'm going to be dumbfounded by this whole...
The Blue Jays need to wake up. And the problem is that they're going to have to wake up at 6 games against the Yankees too, and I don't want to see that because I don't want the Yankees to lose, but the Yankees could be a huge pivotal player in this whole wild card thing, knocking the Blue Jays out or letting them right in that door.
Yeah, I mean, if they every year we love the Blue Jays and every year they find a way to choke it. I don't even know how else to explain it.
And I would say the Blue Jays and the Mariners are the two teams out there right now that have the pitching that could go up against Atlanta in the World Series. Pitching-wise, I don't necessarily think anyone other than the Astros might be able to slightly match them in the hitting department.
Right.
But pitching is what's going to decide it, I think, because the Braves aren't as good as you think in the pitching department. Their bullpen isn't as good as everyone thinks. Their hitting is just insane. So if they're going to go out and do their normal 6 runs a game that they've been averaging in the playoffs, I don't think that's going to happen because everyone gets better in the playoffs pitching-wise.
I really did this factoid. I had no idea that the Braves have won 6 division titles in a row. It's like the 90s. I had no clue.
Ronald Acuña didn't put that up in fireworks
Philly didn't win one?
No. And the crazy thing is like most of the World Series teams are coming out of the wild cards.
Yeah,
too.
Which is interesting. We should do a stat analysis on that. You know, I talked about it on my morning show. This has nothing to do with baseball. I wanted it because I know you were following it too. I get into this mode when I'm like, whether I'm taking a nap or I'm by myself. Like, I always think about scenarios. Like, if I robbed a bank or if I got out of prison, like, what would I do?
Yeah.
Like, how would I handle it? And this guy who escaped in Pennsylvania. No, but what I don't understand is
Danilo Cavalcante?
I mean, I don't know how to hotwire a car. Like, so I don't know how to steal a car. So, I mean, I don't know if he was Googling how to steal. But if I stole a car and nobody knew where I was, like, why don't you just, like, drive to South Dakota or something?
Right.
Like, I don't understand why.
Or in the 2 weeks you're on the run, take a scooter, a bike, anything. If you're not going to steal a car, do something to get out of town.
Like, I don't understand, but then maybe I'm being naive he can steal a car. He knew how to steal a car.
So the guy's plan after he Spider-Man'd out of prison, right?
Which is insane.
A convicted murderer.
They should do American Ninja Warrior in
get out of prison. Like, with fake bullets, though, right?
No.
If you make it over the thing, they can take you out with the dummy
with
shot.
Something.
Anyway, so the guys, according to him, I smell a movie deal here, like, or something. I smell a Netflix series that he's
just
making.
Well, the Dan Amora one made a movie, right?
He's making most of this stuff up, in my opinion, because he's pretty bad at what he did. If you can get out of prison, for one, right?
You have to have some talent.
You got to have some talent, but then you spend 2 weeks basically within, what, a 10-mile radius of this prison? He didn't get that far. Eating watermelons, stealing boots, and stealing Eagles hoodies.
You stole an Eagles hoodie?
That's what he was captured with. He was wearing an Eagles hoodie when he got captured. And the governor of the state of Pennsylvania...
That wasn't his?
He had stole it. And apparently, I don't think the person has come forward, but the governor said he would buy the person a new Eagles hoodie in the press conference. But again, like... And over the course of 2 weeks, he wanted to go to Canada, right? I think, first of all, that's your dumb move because you're going to get across the border. Now, granted, you could cross the border... You know, in Vermont, like, you can get across the border.
In the woods,
right? There's
something.
No wall in Canada, supposedly is on the Mexican border, right?
Well, we're fine with people sneaking into Mexico.
He's like, I'm not going to Mexico, I'm going to Canada. But why are you not making some effort in this operation? I mean, like, you're a criminal, you got zero to lose. I'm not saying you got to go kill someone in the heart.
No, but, like, make a reasonable effort to get away.
Get on a bus, do something, dude. Bump some change.
Shave your head, put some lipstick on.
Well, he did do that,
on.
I think he did. I think he changed his appearance, so he was that smart. Right, I mean, he could have just got the Eagles jersey. He went to the freaking game.
I just don't. I want. Again, I go back to, like, what would you do? Like, what would you do?
I would not be hanging out anywhere by eating watermelon. I'll tell you that.
Because if you walk on the side of the road, they're looking for you.
They're looking for you.
So, like, what do you do? They got probably every train station and bus station cased. So what do you do? Like, I can't steal a car. So what would I do? I have no money. What would I do? Yeah. I don't know what I would do. I can't speak to it.
I think that's probably the problem, right? You've been in prison so long and you get out.
But he's not. He hasn't been that long.
Long enough, I think.
No,
right?
I think he just was in prison because he killed his girlfriend. I think he just got convicted.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't really think he ever wanted to get away.
You think he just liked being in the news?
I think he probably was. I mean, the news loved him. I know that.
So that's sort of like the guy who jumps on the field and streaks across the field. You know you're going to get lit up, but you get on TV. I mean, that's they're going to tack on, I guess, if he's going to prison for life, what's the difference?
Exactly. Yeah. This dude spent 2 weeks running around eating watermelon and getting caught on trail cameras.
What's better than being in a windowless cell, I guess.
I mean.
But next time we talk, I want you to tell me what you would have done, because that's what I want to know.
I had already thought of a way to like do a bank robbery in a snowstorm. I have that all planned out.
What do you mean? What do you do?
Well, you just wait for the snow, because how are they going to catch you, right? Like, especially around here, they got...
Because they can't drive in the
snow?
Right,
they can't drive in the snow, so you use snowmobiles. Okay. You knock off a bank in like East Hartford on like, we can get up the highway, off the side of the highway quick, like 5 or 15, going up 5. And just have a car waiting for you and disappear. Ditch the snowmobiles. You steal the snowmobiles off of someone's house somewhere over the summer. Wait for the heat to die down and the snow to start.
So you snowmobile onto 84.
No highways. You're not on the highways. In the side roads. Because then you can get off and get on fields or whatever.
So ditch the snowmobile. And the bank's got to be open in the snowstorm.
The bank will be open. Yeah. You got to rob it with
snowmobiles. Don't have a gun, though.
The problem with robbing a bank is there's really never, how do you get to the money? It's not like the old days. You're like, ah, this is a bank robbery. And stick them up, folks.
You know, I got my Tommy gun.
There's so many layers of BS to get through. You're not going to crack the vault. Like, what do they got, like $400
in each
teller?
They're told that no matter what, they got to give you the money.
Right. Right. The money in the register. You're not getting into the vault.
No. I mean, most you'll get is a couple grand. Right. It's not worth it to rob banks.
It's not
anymore.
Worth it. Robbing banks is dumb. But
it's usually for
So let me rephrase that. If you're going to do some sort of heinous thing, I mean, if it's in the snow, you don't want to be driving a car. You got to do it when the elements. You can't get a helicopter up in the snow.
Correct.
Right? So they're not going to get you that way. They got this guy from like heat signatures. He was laying in the bushes and they caught him and
Well, that's the thing.
It's
like if you're going to rob a bank, like at least don't just have the getaway car. You need the third and fourth steps too.
Right.
Whether you're hiding in the garage man cave or someplace until the heat.
I got a blast from the past for you. Remember when that dude was on the run and he was hanging out at the Miss Porter school, and you and I were covering that for the news, and they were looking all over for him? And
no,
he was running.
I was on campus that day.
Do you remember where they found that dude?
Was he in the cemetery?
No, he was hiding in the fire truck up in the boom of the fire truck.
That's
remember,
right,
he
that's
went
right.
to the fire department, was sitting up in the
right
boom.
Right on Main Street.
Right where everyone was. He was right there.
I remember
And
that.
He was waiting for everyone to leave, and no one, like, he hung out basically at the command center in the freaking
I remember that. I went on TV. I was a sports
truck.
Reporter. I'd never done news, so I didn't know what the heck I was talking about. And I remember that story.
And like they were searching everywhere for looking for that guy. And he was sitting in the fire truck.
Just hanging out, watching everything happen. All right, we got to go.
Oh, man. What would you do? I would go hang out back at the police department. Because they're not going to look there.
Just roll a fatty and wait for the party to end. This has been episode 128, Sorry Children, a fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.